We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Most love you.
on a light meditation. Close your eyes to see great wings enfold the capital of our nation. This is not the snow-eyed dove of the lonesome above, but the rainbow street pigeon of all and no religion. Now in your third eye you, from this giant bird's eye view, 66-1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And you look to the west and see waiting in your nest an oval office in all its present rottenness. Yea, though it be rotten and surely ill-begotten, it's yours all the same and you love it no less. So you sit yourself right down and you begin to brood with a proud and a motherly attitude. And from your rainbow throat comes a rainbow of notes, ringing every chakra like alarum bells, all the way down from the crown to the now painted Easter egg shell. And you witness now with the speed of Jesus how a tomb can turn to a womb, as rainbow waves fill to the gills that bright and oval room, and thread through every ear of every walking, talking nightmare in there. And there among the rest is our good Donald, dead asleep at his desk, and with his snoring and his dreams too bleak and too boring, the room begins to shake, and the shell begins to break, and the sunlight floods in, displacing all the nightmares within. And within each American, a sound and sacred soul begins to stir again. And you, the pigeon, peer in, singing backward from three. At nothing you'll awake and be back in your bodies. Three. Two.
Hurry! They say the walls are closing in. They say the walls are closing in, but that's fake news and everybody knows it. They say the walls are closing in. It started off with Russia, Russia, Russia. Then Horseface Stormy, even though I'd never touch her. The one they pinched was the creepy porn lawyer. They say the walls are closing in. And then we had the perfect call, pencil neck shift, lied about it all. Acquitted for life on all the phony charges. They say the walls are closing in. And now we have Fat Alvin Bragg. Thought he had indictments in the bag. They say the walls are closing in. They say the walls are closing in. Still say the walls are closing in. But they don't call me Teflon Don for nothing. Because the walls aren't closing in.
We know from our reporting that, yes, the investigators have been in the final stage of this investigation for quite some time. We know they've talked to most of the key players that we expected them to speak to, like Vice President Mike Pence. Water, shade of pain. So recently, Rudy Giuliani. We know they've been asking specifically about some of the schemes, including the fake electors, right? The effort to put in these fake slates of electors. They've also been asking, as we reported last week, about that December 18th meeting in the Oval Office. So we know they've really narrowed it down to a few key events, a few key particular possible crimes that they could charge. But we also know from our reporting that they continue to reach out to new witnesses, people they haven't spoken to in quite some time, reaching out for additional documents, reaching out to schedule interviews. And are in the big outstanding question is whether they will try to charge everything all at once, right? This is a very sprawling investigation. Unlike Mar-a-Lago, there are well over a dozen potential targets, at least half a dozen potential crimes. Will they try to charge this all at once, or are they going to go through this in phases?
For more than 2 years now, Fannie Willis has been investigating Trump's alleged election interference in the state of Georgia. Last year, the DA impaneled a special grand jury that heard from a grand total of 75 witnesses. The forewoman of that special grand jury has since told the press that the jurors recommended indictments for multiple people on a range of charges. But that special grand jury did not have the power to indict on its own. To bring an indictment, DA Willis needs the approval of a regular grand jury. The timeline remains unclear. When might they issue an indictment? Well, earlier this year, Willis sent a letter to the Fulton County Sheriff, alerting him to the need for heightened vigilance and security between today and September 1st. Because at some point in that time frame, the DA will announce her charging decision in this case. Now, 2 months ago, Willis got even more specific, telling the chief judge of the Fulton County Superior Court that the staff will be working remotely from July 31st to August 18th, and that she's requesting Fulton County judges to not schedule in-person hearings during that time. The idea with that seems to be keep the amount of people at the courthouse to a minimum for their safety. In case, say, people are riled up over, I don't know, a big deal criminal indictment.
Two grand juries were selected, one of which could be asked to decide whether to follow through on those recommendations and potentially hand Trump his third indictment.
I believe it's about to happen.
Is this a case of special treatment for Donald Trump? Like if Donald Trump's name was Joe Slobotnik, would he be getting a second special, a second grand jury to look at what the first grand jury did?
I think it's an indicator of how complex this case is, because although we've seen indictments in Miami and Washington and Miami and New York involving Donald Trump, this case is going to go, it looks like, beyond Donald Trump to his inner circle, to potentially members of the fake GOP elected slate here in Georgia, the elector slate. And so this is, you know, they're talking about RICO anti-conspiracy charges here. So there's a lot of moving parts here. It's not as cut and dry maybe as some of the other investigations that are going on.
Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team reportedly continue to zero in on a contentious Oval Office meeting that occurred in the final days of Donald Trump's administration. Multiple sources telling CNN investigators have asked several witnesses who appeared before the grand jury, the one that's been convened in the investigation into the January 6th attack on the Capitol and the efforts by Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election. Some of those witnesses were asked about the meeting months ago while others, including Rudy Giuliani, reportedly were questioned about it only recently. Sources tell CNN prosecutors specifically have inquired about three outside Trump advisors who participated in meetings. Trump lawyer Sidney Powell, one-time national security advisor Michael Flynn, and former Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne. Lawyers for Giuliani, Powell, and Byrne all declined to comment to CNN. The network says it also reached out to an attorney for Flynn for comment, but has yet to hear back. Here is what we learned about that explosive meeting at the White House that took place on December 18th, 2020. In video testimony played during the January 6th hearings last summer, we heard how Trump's outside advisors clashed with White House officials over conspiracies of election fraud and outlandish efforts to keep Donald Trump in power.
I opened the door and I walked in.
You walk into the room with your pencil in your hand. You see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard, but you don't understand just what you will say when you get home. Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is.
I saw General Flynn. I saw Sidney Powell sitting there. I was not happy to see the people in the Oval Office. Well, again, I don't think they were providing. Well, first of all, the Overstock person, I've never knew who this guy was. Actually, the first thing I did, I walked in, I looked at him, and I said, who are you? And he told me. I don't think any of these people were providing the president with good advice. And so I didn't understand how they had gotten in.
I was asking, like, you claimed the Democrats were working with Hugo Chavez, Venezuelans, and whomever else. And at one point, General Flynn took out a diagram that supposedly showed IP addresses all over the world and ISP, who was communicating with whom via the machines, and some comment about like Nest thermostats being hooked up to the internet.
So it's been reported that during this meeting, Ms. Powell talked about Dominion voting machines and made various election fraud claims that involve foreign countries such as Venezuela, Iran, and China. Is that accurate?
That's true.
Was the meeting tense?
Oh, yeah. It was not a casual meeting.
Explain.
I mean, at times there were people shouting at each other, hurling insults at each other. It wasn't just sort of people sitting around on a couch, like, chit-chatting.
Cipollone and Hirschman and whoever the other guy was showed nothing but contempt and disdain of the president.
Yeah, I remember the three of them were really sort of forcefully attacking me verbally. Yeah. Derek, and we were pushing back and we were asking one simple question as a general matter. Where is the evidence? So
what response did you get when you asked Ms. Powell and her colleagues where's the...
A variety of responses based on my current recollection, including, you know, can't believe you would say something like, you know, things like this, like, what do you mean, where's the evidence? You should know, yeah, and things like that, or, you know, a disregard, I would say, a general disregard for the importance of actually backing up what you say with facts.
Derek and I both challenged what she was saying, and she says, well, the judges are corrupt. And I was like, everyone? Every single case that you've done in the country you guys lost, every one of them is corrupt? Even the ones we appointed? And
what?
I'm being nice. I was much more harsh to her.
This, as Trump and his legal team are trying to put the brakes on another legal matter, the special counsel's criminal trial involving Trump's mishandling of classified documents. They are asking the previously Trump-friendly Florida judge to postpone the trial indefinitely, presumably until after the 2024 presidential election. In a 12-page court filing, they argued that Trump would be too busy, both by running for president and attending to as many other legal matters, to prepare for this one. They claim that any attempt to start the trial this year would be unrealistic and result in a miscarriage of justice. Donald Trump's team is looking for special treatment. Let's just be clear. Oh, yeah. This is, you know, this is what they said in their filing. They said President Trump is, I mean, he's former President Trump, is running for president of the United States and is currently the likely Republican nominee. The undertaking requires a tremendous amount of time and energy and that effort would continue into the election on November 5th, 2024. This schedule makes trial preparation and the defendants challenging, blah, blah, blah. Now, we do know that the judge, Judge Cannon, right, who's presiding over his federal trial on the documents, has said in the past the following: based on the nature of the action, the principles of equity require the court to consider the specific context at issue, and that consideration is inherently impacted by the position formally held by the plaintiff. In layman's terms, he deserves special treatment. Is it at all possible, can you foresee her pushing a trial back? Because that would essentially mean it could be him being, it could be happening while he's present. He could just dismiss it.
Well, I think this is one of the real tests, right? So when the parties argue this, and it might happen next Tuesday, and it might be some other separate argument, she will have to make findings under the Speedy Trial Act, yeah, that the interests of justice really outweigh,
yeah,
the rights of the defendant and the public to a speedy trial in order to grant a continuance. It doesn't necessarily mean she's going to grant it indefinitely the way that they have proposed. She could take an intermediate step. She could actually say, let's just get started with motions and see how that goes and then revisit this question. But she has to make findings under the law if she's going to grant a continuance. I think that it's, I think the request for more time beyond December 11th is not necessarily unreasonable in a case, right, like this, where we have classified documents, we have to go through special procedures, yeah, under SEPA. I think some of the rationales, yeah, in that motion are ridiculous, and the motion has the political overtones and is said multiple times, this is a political prosecution by a political opponent. And, yeah, of course, that's just false.
Yeah.
This is not brought by President Biden, this, right, is brought by the Department
of Justice. And a grand jury. Let's play really quickly what Chris Christie had to say, because it's interesting, and I kind of want to play this out with you. Here's Chris Christie saying what he thinks Trump is thinking.
I've known him for 22 years. When I was doing these cases in New Jersey, and I would put political figures in jail, he would say to me, I could never do that. I could never go to jail. And I'm telling you, no matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and on about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every night thinking about the sound of that jail cell door closing behind him.
Greg, I'm going to ask you to expose some of your reporting, if there is any. Is there any talk around Fannie Willis's world, in her world, that they would ever be open to some sort of blanket immunity deal that could involve both the state and federal charges? Has that been discussed? Have you heard anything like that?
Not that we've heard at all. There's been talk, of course, and we've reported on immunity deals for some members of the fake elector slate, for instance, issues like that. But it's gone from the ground level up rather than,
right,
from Donald Trump down, because everything we've heard, all signs are pointing to a potential indictment of the former president. All the members of the special grand jury couldn't name names. They've said on background and on the record that we're looking at big names involved, names that we all know.
Attorneys for former President Donald Trump are asking a judge to hold off on setting a trial date in the case involving his handling of classified documents.
Does running for president and getting a lot of popular support essentially mean that you can set your own timetable in terms of an accusation of criminality, right? So it's one thing to sort of understand that there are special circumstances. It's another thing to grant someone special privileges. It's hard to discern from this document which one of those that they're requesting.
There is nothing new, Pete Strzok, about Donald Trump wanting to use DOJ as his sort of personal legal defense department. What is new is running in front of the American public as, you know, the public is basically a human shield. He says, vote for me and you will protect me from criminal accountability for crimes that not only did I think Hillary Clinton should have been locked up for, things she didn't do, but the very essence of being the country's commander in chief is on the line in the outcome of these rulings and in this case.
They're trying to shut us down.
They say we're contaminating the planet.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Can't the government just get off our backs?
You know, I was just telling the wife that if I was president, I'd do things a lot differently.
Don't get off your soapbox, Simpson. Do you realize how much it costs to run for office? More than any honest man can afford.
I bet you could afford it, though. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you're an honest man. I mean, it just meant that you could afford to run for president. You felt like it. Of course, I'm just rambling because you keep staring at me like that. But it's true. I mean, if you were president, you could decide what's safe and what isn't. Where are we going, sir?
to create a new and better world.
The fact that he's an active presidential candidate and the fact that Walt Nauta is by his side with coat on arm creates a different set of circumstances. And then there's this other larger argument that the sheer weight of the evidence that they have to go through, 833,000 documents have been presented thus far through the discovery process, makes it really tough for him and his legal team to deal with. Now, that said, I mean, one of the interesting dynamics is in making that particular argument, they cite the case of former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega, saying Noriega needed more time to get his case together as an example of the complexity of the prosecution. But he really is, in this particular document, throwing everything on the table. And it seems, from our perspective, that he is challenging Judge Cannon to show her cards immediately. So we're going to find out within the next couple of weeks precisely what she's inclined to do as a result of her response to this document.
If you go back to Trump himself in 2016, he said, should Hillary Clinton be indicted, that might cause something along the lines of a constitutional crisis, and she should consider dropping out of the race because it would be that damaging and that severe. So he's spoken about this exact issue and what he thinks somebody should do only when that person is his opponent. But look, I think there is no question that if you can't charge somebody while they're the president, if you can't charge them, if the argument is while they're running for the presidency, then what? You have a year and a half window where if there's a broad range of criminality, that's the only time where they can be brought to trial. I mean, that strains credulity.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
One of the first things we must do is to enforce all classification rules and to enforce all laws relating to the handling of classified information.
We also need the best protection of classified information.
All three of those statements by Mr. Trump are cited in the criminal indictment against Donald Trump.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.